Gentlemen, boys, and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is the Weekly Pint. It's the show that is not a show. It's a happy hour. It's an excuse for us to hang out together to have a drink and talk about whatever's happening in our lives or in the world of beer and booze, especially here in Cincinnati, but wherever. Whatever. We just talk about whatever we want to talk about, basically. It's pretty simple. It's a happy hour. You know how this works. Welcome back, or welcome if this is your first time hanging out. Because it's a happy hour, part of the whole point of this is to drink together. Now, you don't have to be drinking something that's boozy or beer-like. However, I think it makes the show a little better if you are, but whatever it is that you are drinking, even if you're sipping on some kind of fizzy water, tell us. That way we're drinking together. You see how it works? I'm gonna try to keep an eye on the chat from all of the places we are simulcasting. I have not figured out a way to compile all of the chat together yet. Still have not cracked that conundrum, so... if I leave you hanging for a little long, I'm sorry. However, please do chat. This is a podcast. However, it's much better enjoyed as a live show. Again, happy hour. It just makes more sense live together. If you're listening to this afterwards, next time tune in live. Try to make it happen. Let's see. Marco is having a Mason IPA from BC's. That is BC's in Lebanon / Mason / wherever they're located. I believe their mailing address is Lebanon. It feels like Lebanon to me, but it's still Mason. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Julia is having a 2022 barley wine from Westside. Ooh, a barley wine sounds good. I should have done that. I didn't. I went a whole different direction, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's see. Alex is having a Noctera Cruiser double IPA. Ooh, that sounds good too. Joe's having a Westside Oktoberfest. So jealous. I would love to just sit here and drink a whole bunch of Oktoberfest tonight, but I'm not ready yet. I'm not there yet. We are at, I think our stockpile right now is at 10 different Oktoberfests. Hopefully that number will be much larger by the end of this week. And then I'm hoping we can start diving into round one, Oktoberfest Quest. Let's see. Chris is having a Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Tart Cherry Wheat. That sounds great. Northeast Ohio Craft Brewery News is having Red Dragon Raspberry Brown Ale from, is it Paladin? Is that how you pronounce it? In Austintown, Ohio. Paladin? I don't know. I've told you guys this before. I get so consumed with just keeping up with what is happening here in Cincinnati, on top of keeping track of the things that are happening in my life, that I just don't get out that much. I don't get out to the other places in Ohio that like I want to. Maybe I'll remedy that at some point. I don't know. I don't have a drink yet. Although I have a couple different things that I could drink. But we always start the show off with a tradition. It is what we call the schnappening. I have to preface it every time I do it so that I don't get any grumpy messages from you guys. I recognize this is not schnapps because there aren't enough schnapps in the world for me to do schnapps every week. I shouldn't say in the world. There are probably plenty of schnapps in the world. There aren't enough schnapps in greater Cincinnati. However, if you come across any schnapps and you see them on a shelf, let me know. Be like, hey, Gnome, I found some actual schnapps. You need this for the schnappening. Let me know, and I will drive to get more schnapps. I've had this one on the show before, and it was not good. If I remember right, it was terrible, which is why I thought it would be fun to drink with you guys. I don't know. I don't know why I do this every single time. Josh is having a Lagertown Oktoberfest from Half Acre. Maybe I need to do that. Maybe I need to like keep a stockpile of Oktoberfests that are not from Cincinnati. Maybe I should do that just to have here in the fridge so that I can drink Oktoberfests every day of Oktoberfest. Because this is not an Oktoberfest. This is a sweet tea whiskey, twisted tea, sweet tea whiskey. It was not good. Again, if I remember correctly, and I'm pretty sure that I do. There's also a surprising amount of it that has been consumed. I don't know if I did that on the show and just kept drinking this terrible whiskey, or if there was one night where I had people over or something, and to taunt everyone, I made them drink sweet tea, twisted tea whiskey. I don't know. I have no clue. Let's see. It says, I know it's bad. I'm already dreading this. It says, take everything you know about whiskey, like the fact that it's good, and throw it out the window. It doesn't say that other part. I put that in there. Made with real brewed tea, we took the same great taste of Twisted Tea hard iced tea and reimagined it as sweet and smooth flavored spirit with hints of lemon. Enjoy it straight up or as a shot or add it to your favorite mixer. We don't judge. I do. If you find yourself sitting around just drinking this for the fun of it, I judge. This stuff is no bueno. I've never even really loved Twisted Tea all that much. It's grown on me a little bit, but I think that there are much better hard teas if that's your thing. If that's your poison. If you like the hard teas, there's better options than Twisted Tea. As much as I love Sam Adams, it looks like it looks like tea. I was gonna say it kind of looks like whiskey, but it doesn't. It looks like tea. Just like tea. All right. Get my nose in here. Let us see what is going on. Like medicine, like some kind of cough syrup. Oh, man. There is like a little bit of a lemon thing going on. It's like tea that's done gone bad. Oh, God. I'm not downing this whole thing as a shot, for the record. I don't want it. I don't want it in me. Okay. Oh, there it is. Oh, God. Oh, why? How does this, like... Oh, yeah, it's like... Oh. There is, like, that... Oh, that terrible medicine thing. This 100% reminds me of being a kid and having to like choke down like cough medicine. Oh, it's so bad. How does this get out of like when you're like sitting in, I guess Boston Beer's headquarters? There's no way this actually made it through people at Boston Beer. When you're sitting in like this room where they're coming up with products. And somebody puts, like, maybe, 10 different versions of some kind of tea whiskey in front of people. And everybody's drinking them. How does this make it out of that room? And everybody's like, yep, that's going to be it. That's what we're going to put on shelves. It's, like, if it was just, like, tea and whiskey... Like it would probably be fine. I think it's like that weird fake lemon thing that the God. I've had some terrible like spirit based products before. Really horrible ideas. The Doritos vodka stuff. It was a terrible idea, but it wasn't bad. This is like just actively gross, and like I don't. I don't know if Northeast Ohio Craft Brewery News says, how does this pass a focus group? Exactly. I don't know if it's like it's supposed to be bad. Kind of like the whole Malort thing where like the pain of doing the shot is part of the fun. I don't know if they thought that this was going to be that like, oh, you're out there pounding your twisted teas and everybody has to do a shot of this, and oh, it's so gross, and look at your face, you're not enjoying it. Maybe that was what this was, but I don't know. Oh, it's time to chase that awfulness with a good beer. I agree. I got to get through this first. Oh, God. All right, bottoms up. Oh, God. Yeah. Cough medicine. Oh, God. I'm going to have nightmares about that. Marco wants to know if the Eggo one is better. So the Eggo, I don't know if everybody remembers that. Sugarlands, my favorite moonshine distillery in Gatlinburg, put out a collaboration moonshine with Eggo. And it was like Eggo moonshine. It tastes like batter, like straight up like waffle batter. It's gross. But I would drink that every day over this stuff. John said, did someone say Malort? Yeah, like this is so bad that I want to rinse my mouth out with Malort. I feel like it's all over my face and my hands, and like I'm just like I'm covered in, oh God. Oh, it's so gross. Okay, let's crack open a beer. I have way too much Urban Artifact beer hanging out my fridge right now, and I need to get through some of it. So I reached in and I grabbed just a completely random one. Chris says it's distilled by Beam in Frankfurt. Is that true? I assume so. It is definitely in Frankfurt. It says on here that it's not for underage. Not. It doesn't say like 21 and up. It says not for underage. So weird. Oh, God. Yeah, it's from Frankfurt. It doesn't really tell me who beyond that, but... Oh. Anyways, I reached in the fridge to grab a random beer, just completely blind, just to see what I got. And in honor of the heat today and how hot it is outside, we got Holiday Punch. That's right. Urban Artifact Holiday Punch. This is from November, so it's been hanging out for a little while. This is a Midwest fruit tart, so 8.2%. It's good and hearty, as we call it. Let's see. John says, not for any age by the sounds of it. Yeah, no. I do not recommend. 0 out of 10. Do not buy. This is pineapple, blood orange, cranberry, ginger, lemon, cinnamon, and vanilla bean. So a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and... a happy alligator playing hockey. I used to have a post up on the website. I still do, I assume, somewhere on there, to decode what you were going to taste based on what animals were on the can. That's something that a lot of people don't realize, and I assume they still do it. I haven't paid enough attention to say that for sure, but usually the animal tells you whatever adjunct you've got in your fruit tart. We're going with proper glassware. Clasp used to be their membership club. Now it's the small batch society, but man, the club was, it still is great, but you used to get like a glass every year and like a little enamel pin. And then in 2020 was the last like real year of it. They were going to do this big dinner for everybody. And then COVID happened and it shut everything down and we didn't get our dinner and it sucked. All right, let's get in here and let's see if this tastes like the holidays. Yeah, my fridge, I keep like different rows in the main beer fridge. I try to keep it varied with like, I have one row for like IPAs or hoppy beer. I have one row that's all dark beer, one row that's seasonal beer, one row that's all sour beer. Just so that I always know kind of where to grab, and I know I always have a nice little varied selection of beer. As of right now, there are now 3 different rows of Urban Artifact beer. That's how like much I'm sitting on. Okay, let's see. Holiday Punch. It smells like... does not smell like the holidays, nor does it smell like the ginger that I was anticipating. Josh said, before this Oktoberfest, I had Dragon's Milk Emerald IPA from New Holland. Dragon's Milk Emerald IPA, that's a thing. It was an IPA, a barrel-aged IPA in Dragon's Milk barrels. That sounds interesting. 11%, not too boozy. It was tasty. I don't know that I've ever really had a barrel-aged IPA that I loved that I could think of off the top of my head. I've had some that were interesting, but not that I loved. Julia says, I still need to get some of the Urban Artifact Fatheads collaboration, if they're still available. I'm sure it is. I have not tried it either. I would love to get my hands on it. And I've got a couple 4-packs sitting down there on the shelf that I need to pick up. And I think when I do, I might have to snag some of that Fatheads. I'm not a huge IPA guy. Like, I don't typically, like, rush out to get the latest IPA that drops in town. Drops. But I really kind of want that one. All right. It's really hard to, like, place what this is. I mean, was there orange? Did it say orange? Like, I feel like there's, like, an orange something. It tastes like fruit. Or it smells like fruit. Fruit and, like, maybe, like, some kind of cinnamony something or other. Josh says, I'd suggest it if you find a can. It was in Julia's high grain mix pack. Do they have it? High grain, higher gravity. I see HG and I think high grain. do they have it at higher gravity? Maybe I will do that. Northeast Ohio Craft Brewery says, seems like an odd style to barrel age. Talking about the IPA, it is. But I think that's what makes it fun. I still haven't tasted my beer. I miss those days where people would throw things in barrels just because it was interesting or it was fun or like you didn't really know how it was going to turn out. Kind of the sense of the excitement of experimentation, I feel like gets lost so much. Not that it isn't still out there, because it is. If you live anywhere near Wilmington, or it's easy to get to Wilmington, that's a little north of Cincinnati, a little south of you guys up in Northeast Ohio. But Alex has a meat stout on tap. Meat stout. A meat stout. It is a thing. And it's such a thing that I kind of want to write an entire post just about meat stout and try to understand meat stout and if they're just making it up. All right, I'm going to drink this, and then we'll get into our topics here. Oh, it's wonderful. It's tart. It's fruity. Way easier drinking than I was anticipating. Like, not as tart as some of them are. And it tastes kind of like fruit punch, but like not as Hawaiian punch. Like, it tastes like way more of like an orange fruit punch, if that makes sense. Does that exist? Is there like an orange Hawaiian punch? I feel like there might be an orange Hawaiian punch. Maybe that's what this tastes like. Oh, there's Alex, and he says, it's a thing. Well, it definitely is now, because you guys have it. So even if you're just trolling the world and making a meat stout, it now exists. All right, let's get into some kind of a topic here. Let's start with some local news, some stuff that's happening. I'm going to try to be better about doing this more often. That was originally the intention of the show, was to talk about all of the things that are happening that either I don't really want to write a full blog post about it, or I didn't have time to, or it's just so exciting that I have to talk about it. That was really kind of the intention of the format of the show, but it's turned into drinking sweet tea, twisted tea, whiskey. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Madtree is teaming up with the Cincy Hat Foundation. This is the Ted Karras, the Cincy Hats. You guys, you've seen these. You know these hats. They're teaming up together to do some Madtree branded ones, which I think I kind of need. I think I kind of need in my life. I actually, obviously, the Bengals colors, the black and the white and orange, is the one I'm leaning towards, but looking at that green one on there, I kind of dig that too. I don't wear a lot of like green hats. Like, you guys don't see me wear a lot of green hats. I only wear colored hats usually on the weekend when I'm just kind of, I know I'm not going to be on camera, and I'm just kind of hanging out and hanging out with my family and drinking and smoking cigars and doing that whole thing, just relaxing. that's when I wear t-shirts that aren't black, and I actually wear hats that have some color. Yeah, I'm kind of digging it. But the reason that this is, let's see. Okay, going back to our other chat that you guys can't all see. John says he looked it up. It's a barrel fermented IPA, so not aged, which makes more sense. Yes, that actually kind of makes it a little more interesting to me. So you're probably still getting some barrel character, but not in the same way. I have definitely had barrel aged IPAs before. It's just it's been a long time, and I think the whiskey side of it probably comes out more than barrel character for me in the ones that I've tried. So this collaboration launches on 8/21 with a party at the Oakley Tap Room, obviously. It is also the debut of what they are calling the Cincy Stripe Pilsner. I don't know how different this Pilsner is than other Pilsners or light beers or things that we've seen on tap. They, in the press release, they made a point, I think, in there to say that it is a distinct beer that is brewed specifically for this. It is a little bit different. I don't know that for sure. I don't know what makes it different. I don't know if it's like a traditional Pilsner or if they've got some kind of American hops in there. I don't know the details of that because it wasn't in there, which should have been in there, but maybe I'll actually do some investigation for you. And like when I say I'm going to investigate things, it means I'm going to go to Mad Tree and I'm going to drink some beers and eat some wings and maybe ask a bartender, and they'll probably know the answer, and then I'll have your answer for you. Maybe I'll do that. Stay tuned. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. I'm going to work for you. I do this all for you. They've also got, obviously, exclusive merchandise. I don't think it's just the hats. I think they have special glassware, too, that you can get. And then all during the football season, this collaboration goes on. And a portion of not only the merchandise, but also the purchase of the beer itself, a portion of that goes to the foundation. I don't know how much of a portion. I don't know. But yeah, a portion of it goes to it, and that's all football season. This is right after they just launched this thing that they're calling their Branch Out program, and this is kind of a piece of that, which is this push to make their tap rooms more accessible and inclusive to folks with developmental disabilities. So I don't see anybody else trying to find ways to do this, especially loudly the way Mad Tree is right now. And it's really, really, really kind of cool to see them focusing that direction. So I'm a big fan of this. I love it. Chris says, if it was a fruit stripe Pilsner, you'll taste it for about 6 seconds. Is fruit stripe still around, like the gum? Does that still exist? If it does, I need to introduce my kids to that that joy of that short little burst of flavor. I don't know the last time that I had a piece of fruit stripe gum, but like in my head, I can immediately still like taste that flavor, and it is still like a distinct flavor. I don't know what it is, but it is like its own thing. Oh, so good. Northeast Ohio Craft Brewery News says it does. So I'm going to mess with my kids. I'm going to give you something that is the most amazing flavor in the world that only lasts for a split second. Chris says it does. You guys, so we got to figure out a way to get these chats together. I don't know if there is a way. I don't know if I can pull the comments from the other page and get them into, I don't know. Oh. Oh, that's a good beer. Oh man. Okay, let's see. John said I got my first look at Parks and Rec. Oh, I forgot. John has been here in town, bouncing around to a couple places, doing a couple interviews or an interview for work, and said. Brady pointed out to me how they intentionally made lower parts of the bar more accessible tabletops. Yes. And I think they added, even after they opened the tap room, they still shifted some of the, they changed some of the bar to make it lower too. Well, really, really cool stuff. And they have some kind of, what is it called? The quiet room. There's like a quiet room, like over by the bathrooms, where if you have somebody that has some sensory issues and the tap room gets too crazy, which we've all been there, it's like this room that you can go into and you can kind of close the door and have some space where you can kind of have quiet. Super, super cool. Like, it's just something that I have not seen anybody else do. Chris says Discord, I guess. Yeah, like there are places where I could direct everybody to do all of their chatting. But to get all of the places to compile their chat was really what I'm looking for. The calming room. There we go. Yeah, Madtree, I there has been some times in the last few years where I've maybe accused Madtree, and maybe rightfully so, that they have kind of lost a little bit of their focus on being a brewery and turned into a restaurant or whatever, which again, maybe there's some truth to that. But through all of that, I still keep going back to just pure love for what they are doing. The beer is still great. The people are fantastic in my experience. And they are really, really working hard towards initiatives to kind of do things that are much bigger than just a brewery. Chris says, I have a panic room here. It's the opposite of what you think. Okay. it sounds like there is a story there. all right. In order to do this next part, I have to pull that chat off of my screen. I could pull it up on my phone, but tell you what, I can't think of an easy way to do it. I need another screen. That's it. I gotta install another screen. We're gonna do some label approvals. There has been, Alex says they do a great job of connecting everything to mission. Yes, they are, and they just keep getting better and better at that and redefining what that mission is. Fantastic. Okay, label approvals. I've been sitting on a bunch for way longer than I probably should. I need to start doing this like once a month. That's going to be, I think I've probably said that before, but that's going to be a rule that I'm setting for myself, that once a month we get here and we dive into these label approvals. Because there's some good stuff. And let's just jump right into it. Now, some of these are a little more exciting than others. I also didn't crop these. I normally crop these ones that, are a little harder to see. This is Mom Water. This is Impact. So Impact Beverages, I know some of you guys know them. This is the former Taft's, before they sold the Taft's brand. They make a whole bunch of stuff. Everything from energy drinks, a lot of energy drinks, to stuff like this. They contract them. And there's just a bunch of different Mom Waters. Nothing really that exciting that I'm going to spend too much time talking about. So we'll just kind of roll through them and then move on. So Jackie, okay, they all have like mom names. Kate, Katie, I guess. Is it cherry pineapple, peach tea? That's probably way better than that twisted tea stuff. Jenny, classic tea. I could drink that. These are, I think, uncarbonated, if I'm right. Lisa, strawberry tea. I think we're on tea kick here. Stacy's watermelon. Nikki's raspberry tea. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. This is another contract product. This one is one of the extremely interesting ones to me. This is a vodka seltzer from Wandering Monsters. Wandering Monsters does not make booze, so they are contracting this with another local distillery. Kerrigan, in this case, is making these for them, which is interesting for a lot of reasons. Kerrigan is fantastic. I love that they are on the label. Now it's in the finer print, so you have to kind of dig in there to see it. But they are specifically calling out that, hey, we make this. This is canned at Kerrigan. It's bothering me not being able to see the chat, so I'm going to pull the chat up if I can figure it out here. Hang on. We'll do that, and then this, and then if I do that, and then I make sure. There we go. That should work. So I'm going to guess that we're going to see other flavors of this vodka seltzer. That is a complete guess. It is an assumption. I have not seen any labels yet other than this one. Pineapple, orange, mango. It's also only 4.5%, which is, to me, perfect. I still want to drink, if I'm going to pick up a vodka seltzer, I want to drink them the same way that I drink beer. I don't want some kind of like heavy cocktail, 8%, not always. If I'm... Let me clarify that. There are times where I want something boozy. Not this. I want this to be drinking by the pool the same way that I would drink just like a beer. I'm excited to try it. I need to get my hands on it. I actually need to reach out to Wandering Monsters and see what the heck is going on with this and when I can get my hands on it. Okay, this is another interesting one. This is a Homorama beer. It is a Mad Tree beer. I'm just going to assume that this is just some kind of special beer for Homorama. I don't like the artwork at all. I think it looks terrible. Maybe when I see it on a can, I will change my mind. But yeah, I'm sure it's a good beer. That's the best I can say about it. Yeah. This also gives me horrible flashbacks to my previous life, shooting real estate photography. I don't know that I want to go to Homorama anymore. I'm kind of over that world. This is one of the most exciting. This one was so exciting that I had to put out not only a short video, but I had to also write a blog post about it. This is a Red Top beer. This is Red Top. Was a brewery that opened in Cincinnati. Well, it was a malting company pre-Prohibition that converted to a brewery right as Prohibition ended, and was one of kind of the big players in town for 20 something years after Prohibition ended, and went away and broke a lot of hearts that it went away. it was a big part of kind of the that resurgence of beer in the city for however brief it was. The brand is owned by Cinbev, Cincinnati Beverage Company, the same company that owns Christian Moorline and Shaneling, so Little Kings, all of that, Taft's, all of those brands. This is one of those brands that they own that they've been sitting on for a very long time. And instead of just bringing it back as just, you know, some other beer in their portfolio, they are bringing this back as a Miami beer, a Miami University beer. In the same way that that Rheingeist has focused Cincy Light, which that's a conversation in itself. The same way that Rheingeist started Cincy Light as a brand that gives money back to student athletes at UC, this is a beer that supports Miami University athletics. The difference that I, well, not the difference, because this is not out yet. Somehow, Cincy Light has managed to grow well beyond what, well beyond just that that University of Cincinnati sports thing. It has grown into some kind of local powerhouse powered by the name Cincinnati, and it's become kind of a local light beer, which is awesome. I think they're going to struggle a little bit with this to be that same level. Obviously, I don't think anything could be that same level. But Oxford is also a small little pocket of the city. However, with that being said, I think this is going to do great. I think Oxford is chomping at the bit for a beer that they can own in that same way. Now, Swine City has been making beer for Miami University. They've had a couple kind of exclusive ones. There was a seltzer and a pilsner that they made. But to try to kind of capitalize on the sports the same way that in a similar way that Cincy Light has, I think is super, super smart. And I think this is going to do well. As long as they can make a great beer. This has to be a great beer. It has to be good and clean and crisp and no diacetyl at all. This has to be a good beer. And I think it can be. Two different package size. Obviously, there's a 12-ouncer and a 16-ounce. You're going to hear more about this in coming weeks. You'll hear me talk about it, I promise. Let's see. Rheingeist. This is their double oaked ink. Usually we start seeing Chris says he talked to Dan. He mentioned that they talked about doing this and the school ironically said they didn't want to promote the drinking. Yes, it depends on who on the board you talk to in that regard. There's definitely a few people that there's some butting of heads on the idea of booze and the school. It happens. This time of year, as we start heading towards the fall and then the winter, we start seeing some peaks at some of the things that they're going to do with ink. This is double oaked, so Imperial Stout aged in red wine and bourbon barrels. I assume it starts in bourbon barrels and then they finish it in the red wine barrels. There's usually a few more things that we'll see, so stay tuned for that over the next couple months as we start seeing some more labels. Ink is a great beer. I don't know the last time that you've snagged a pint of ink. I still have. Oh, I wonder if I still have an original one. I know I had at least one of the original barrel aged ink. Now I can't remember if I still have that or if I've gone, done, and drank them all. Okay, Streetside has a couple good things. This is their pub feed. This is an extra pale ale. They're making some fun beers over there. I know that they've kind of got this name for, New England IPAs and some of like the fun little sour beers and stuff like that, but they make some great, just great normal styles too. This is an Australian style XPA. It's a collaboration with South O Brewing in California for their anniversary. Let's see, it's hopped with Topaz, Ella, and American Cryo Mosaic to cut any maltiness. I mentioned it earlier. I don't IPAs are fine. It's not like something that gets me all, riled up. I think this kind of sounds great. I love some of those Australian Southern Hemisphere hops. I think they're great. I'll definitely try this one. Chris says that ink on nitro is incredible. That original version of ink was a little, I think, lower ABV than some of the ink that's coming out now. And it was just like this really, really great, like old school Imperial Stout. Like it wasn't about being thick and heavy. It was like, it was roasty and chocolatey and just, just such a good beer. Julia says Westside has an Australian XPA on top right now as well. It's trendy. Just West Side, trendy. This is more my speed, and I haven't tried this. But I feel very safe in telling you that a Helles Lager collaboration beer between Streetside and Branch and Bone is probably freaking incredible. this is another anniversary beer. Crisp lager, strong malt backbone. Yeah, I need it. I really like a good Helles. I go back and forth sometimes on my lager preferences. I think Pilsner is like the perfect lager beer from a lot of different perspectives. But as far as what I want to drink, I think I lean towards Helles. I like that lean towards malt. It's not a malty beer. It is just a little lean towards it. And I kind of like that. Yeah, I need this. I actually need this right now. Get in the truck. Let's see. Another Taft's beer. So Taft's, as I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the other Red Top stuff, Taft's was purchased by Cincinnati Beverage Company, SynBev, as we like to call them, and they are in the process of kind of picking and choosing and figuring out what brands or what beers under the Taft's umbrella kind of fit into or alongside their other portfolios, and which ones they want to bring back and why they want to bring them back and how they want to bring them back. And it looks like they're going to do a Santa's Bribe, which I like. I think that there are some other fun Christmas beers that maybe they could bring back that would be really awesome and get a lot of people excited. But I'm all about this. It's got cinnamon, ginger, cocoa. I assume that you guys have tried this beer historically. So if not, get your hands on it this year. Fix that. A couple Third Eye beers. Space Toast Continuum. Look, this is a great beer. When I first tried this beer, and still, if I catch it on tap somewhere, this is actually has been on tap. We have I live up here in Fairfield, and we have a community arts center, and my kids do all of their dance classes there. And they have usually a few Third Eye beers that are on tap. So when there's a dance recital, we just drink Third Eye beer all day long while we sit through all these dance recitals. And this was one of the ones that has been on tap or was on tap. It's not right now. I don't think. Maybe it is. So I drank a ton of this at dance recitals. And every time, that first one that I would order is that first sip of it, every time, caught me off guard how incredible this beer is. I have never tasted a beer that, it's a great beer. it is a really good beer. This one, and then the one with the black walnuts? There's great beers. I don't need to tell you that Third Eye is a great brewery. Third Eye is incredible, and they're making some really good stuff. Speaking of which, when you get Third Eye and they collaborate with Narrow Path, come on. How can you possibly expect anything more? this is with coconut, a little bit of vanilla. This is right now as far as both of those, as far as breakfast stouts or pastry stouts or things like that. It's everything that you can want. Here's where I sit. I kind of the same way that I don't run around seeking IPAs all that much. I also don't run around seeking pastry stouts because it's usually just way too unbalanced for me, for what I want. That's what I love about some of these beers that Third Eye is doing and Narrow Path too. It's still a beer first and foremost. It's still got a beer backbone, and then some of the adjuncts just kind of help kind of push that forward into different directions. It's not too far past a certain line. It's great. Pumpkin PI. This is fine. It's fine. I have lots of family members that are chomping at the bit for their pumpkin beers. My wife included, she I won't say which one. She put a 6-pack of pumpkin beer in the fridge upstairs, and today we were finishing up making dinner and stuff, and she's like, "I'm gonna open a beer." And she went in the fridge and she got one of her pumpkin beers out and she poured it. And she sat there and she drank it and she's like, "This just isn't very good." She's like, "I don't really like this. I don't think I'm gonna drink all these." So now there's another 5 pumpkin beers that somehow have to get filtered into the Oktoberfest drinking situation in the house. That's it for our label approvals. It's good stuff. I mean, oops. I think we've got some fun stuff coming. And like I said, I'm gonna try to be better about the label approvals for the near future. I'm gonna try to do it like once a month if I can manage. You know how difficult some of those things can be to actually make happen. Let's see. Sorry, I'm trying to make sure I'm caught up on everything here. I think we're in a, well, I hesitate to say this. Was it last week where I talked about kind of Cincinnati and the safety issue? I have heard so many people speaking negatively about the city, about the safety of the city, about how they feel about the city. And I know that that's not all centered around craft beer, obviously. Actually, very little about craft beer since there aren't a ton of breweries downtown. But I'm in a point right now where I'm kind of I'm back to that that feeling very positive about where things are going with craft beer in the city. It goes back and forth, and there's definitely times where I feel not great about how things are and where they're going. But right now, I'm feeling good, and I want to find ways to share that with people and get them to feel that too. Chris says that graffiti is certainly getting out of control. Always, man. It's a there. Don't get me wrong. There are things that definitely need fixed on a lot of different fronts. But overall, like when you read the news or you watch the news, you hear a lot of people talking about not just the safety stuff about being downtown, but just about drinking in general and how nobody wants to drink anymore, and young people aren't drinking the same way that they used to, and beer is down, and I think that it's not overblown, but it's kind of missing the point of it's kind of missing the point of all of this, and I want to kind of sometimes just kind of grab people by the back of their head and like point their head in the right direction and be like, "Man, look at this. Like, look at this thing right now that's happening, and realize how great this is, and focus on that for a minute, and then you'll start to see kind of what is actually happening in greater Cincinnati." And, it's I don't know, it's frustrating, but I think we're headed in, we're in a good spot, and we're heading to an even better spot. It's good. It's the literally the best time to be a drinker in this city is probably right now. I know that there's been places that have closed that we all loved. There's places that are open now that maybe you don't love, and that's fine. But literally right now, the product that is coming out of the city is the best it's ever been, and that's an exciting thing. It's an exciting thing for me, at least. Yeah, that's about all I got for you. Unless anybody has anything else that we need to comment on and talk about. Let me double check my notes. It was I mean, if we want to go to like more behind the scenes life stuff. Let me get back here. Sorry. Big projects coming along. I know some of you have been following along the Bruckman project that I've been working on. This is from the work side of my life. We are, I think, almost done filming. I think this is, for anybody that doesn't know, I know a lot of folks maybe aren't following along the same way. One of our local nonprofits here is the Brewing Heritage Trail, and they kind of they go into a lot of these historic brewery buildings and spaces and open them up for tours and restore the spaces so that people can get in there for tours, clean them up and make them safe and lights and all that stuff. They're working on a whole bunch of really, really incredible projects. And part of that, the one of the more recent ones, is getting people into this Bruckman Brewing Complex. It is the most complete pre-prohibition brewing complex in the city, definitely in the city, maybe even the United States. Like, it is incredible how many of these original buildings are still standing. The farmhouse that they lived in is still there and still standing. Like, it's really, really cool. And I have been lucky enough to be with them throughout this whole process and filming a documentary. Biggest video project that I've ever done in my life. And I think we are, as of this week, I think we will be done filming. No, I know for a fact there's like just a couple little things that I still need to pick up to kind of fill a couple gaps, just like little B-roll stuff. But as far as big stuff, like, we are done this week, and that's wild. Now comes the fun process of editing all of that together. I have somewhere I wrote down the number. I don't even know where I would have put it, but hundreds of, well, yeah, probably hundreds of hours at this point. That might be an exaggeration. It's approaching that, though. Just hours and hours and hours of video footage that has to be cut into this documentary. But good stuff. It'll be fun. And obviously I'll share that out when it's done for you guys to see. Maybe I have to double check contracts and then talk to them. If not, I would love to be able to kind of get it to the Nomies first. I try to get everything that I do to the Nomies first, but that's never really applied to client work. Maybe it should. It's got me thinking about a lot of stuff. There will be some fun opportunities to see the finished film when it's done, and definitely let you guys know about that. So that's been that. Today was the first day of school for my kids. That is always a weird experience. This is the first year that both of my kids are officially now in school. We have a kindergartner for his first time. Still half day kindergarten here, but I really don't know how to feel about that. It makes me feel a certain type of way. So that's that. It also means that there is like light at the end of the tunnel for working. Having a kid at home so much makes it really hard to get stuff done sometimes. So finally, this thought of them both being in school, like for as of next year, they'll both be in school full days, like all day. Like, that's just the amount of things that I can finally get done is fun to think about. So that's kind of been our focus this week, is getting the kids back in school. Yeah, that's pretty much everything that is happening in my life. School, work, beer. It's all the important stuff. That's all I got. We'll wrap things up. I do have as of right now, the only video that I've got scheduled for this week is a shorter tasting video. I've been on a hunt for fun products that I can filter in between some of the beers that I'm drinking. We'll put it that way. And I think I found a new one that I really enjoy. Last week, if you didn't catch it, at the end of last week on Friday, we had a new Drinking with the Gnome episode. So the podcast is up. At least it should be. I guess I should have checked. If you subscribe to the podcast feed, you should have that. There is also a video on YouTube. I want people to watch the videos. I don't know if I want it more than the audio. I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet in my head. But if you haven't watched it, you know, head over to YouTube and check that out. Make sure you share with your friends, tag by gollies, let them know that you, you're excited for them to be doing what they're doing. That's it. That's the content right now that has been consuming my attention. We'll do this again next week. I appreciate all of you guys hanging out with me. If you like this show, if you like any of the stuff that I do, hopefully you know how to support. If not, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support and you can support that way. You can become a gnomey and you get things first and you get swag. And I promise there is swag coming. I have swag in process. It's complicated. But it's coming. I promise it's coming. We've got good stuff. And then you get first dibs. Anytime I'm working on something, it goes to you first. And I do that because I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the support and helping fuel this obsession of mine about local drinking. So thank you guys. And we will... we'll see you next week where we do the same thing at the same place at the same time with all of you. Share this with your friends too. Like that is important. That's how it all keeps growing. If you know somebody that you think would like not just drinking, but talking about drinking, tell them. Cheers, everybody. By the way, Oktoberfest Quest finale is coming up in just a matter of months, and we are still scheduling the event, but it will be an event, and then there will be another event this winter too. So just keep your eyes and ears peeled for those. It'll be fun. It's gonna be a ton of fun, actually. See you later. If you like your beer with a flaming hot poker shoved in it, you're not going to want to miss this winter's event. Let's put it that way.